Well, with a cough and a smear and a hiccup and a burp, we're back.
Oh, you can tell it's Sunday morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Charlotte Harbor! Oh, no, I'm not too old. Oh, my goodness. That killed me.
That hurt, didn't it?
That one really hurt. Yes, it did. I was like, oh, God, I'm going to die here. Okay. Will you be quiet? Now I can't find my... Oh, there we are. Go away. Oh, thank you. Oh, goodness. I don't know what happens. You know, you really enjoy the music right up till you don't.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, my goodness.
Shut up.
Go away. So, anyway, we have a guest today. And across from me is Captain Kale.
Yay!
Captain Kale. And then we have Luigi Dave. Yay! Okay. So, that's the introductions. Now, back to reality. Back to the business of fishing. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Once the fog lifts, it might happen.
Yeah, it's foggy out there.
Very, very foggy out there.
Yeah, I live just off the Peace River, and I usually can, you know, look out the front door, and I can look across the river and see Punta Gorda. I can't even see the water today. I mean, I think the visibility, you might have 50, 100 feet.
Yeah.
And that's pretty dangerous. A lot of people are going out to go fishing. I've been trying to get them to go trolling this morning. Put a couple of lures out behind the boat and idle along. You're already fishing. You don't have to run. You just put the boat in, throw a couple lures out the back, and idle. And 2-3 miles an hour. You're already fishing. You're probably going to catch snook if you're in the
Spanish
canals.
Spanish mackerel.
Ladyfish. I mean, you got jacks. There's a whole array of fish you can catch.
Yeah.
And you can go slow. Everybody stays safe. We all come home without problems and, you know, dents in our boats and, you know, bleeding situations.
Yeah, so whether you go slow or you wait till the fog to lift, you're going to get to your first fishing hole about the same time.
Yeah. So my best advice, if you really got to get out and you got the itch, put a couple rods out and start trolling. Go slow, pull some lures, have some fun, and everybody comes back with no hurts.
Exactly.
No owies. This is a no owie Sunday.
Yep.
So
you hook yourself, that's a problem.
How many people?
I don't know if it's going to be a no owie.
How many people have you heard hit markers in the last week or two?
One more than necessary.
Yeah, there's even on bright sunny days.
It wasn't foggy.
Clunk. And luckily,
I don't think it's going to be a no owie Sunday. I drug out the fly rod today, so.
Oh, so you're planning on adding to your piercings?
Yeah, it's possible.
Yes, the kids in the mall will be jealous by the end of the day.
I want to go after the bonnethead shark on the fly rod.
What are you going to do for what fly?
Shrimp.
Well, that's cheap.
That's what Josh said. He says, "Why do you have a live bait hook on your fly rod, dumbass?" Well, because I'm going to throw live bait.
Well, you know.
Who does that?
I hate artificial so much, I'm throwing live bait on a fly rod.
That's right. That'll be weird. Have you ever done that? Have you ever thrown live bait? I mean,
you have a small shrimp and you have to hook it through the tail, otherwise it tumbles and makes a really mess out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
But if you get small, regular shrimp, use a little hook. Run it through the tail. Now, I usually kind of like a weedless worm because I'll go in through the very end, come back out, and then rehook the shrimp. Because if you just stick it through with a single hook set, there's not enough purchase on it to handle the back cast. And if you got it out there and you pop it out of the water to get your cast started,
lose that shrimp.
It goes, ping.
Yep. And it's
that's why I was wondering. I was like,
we've got the Bloodstream Super Shrimp Chum. We've got live shrimp with us. It's not going to be any more than 10, 20 foot roll cast, so it's not going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, that's.
We're going to have bonnethead upon bonnethead circling the boat. So
perfect.
I don't know. I think you could get away with just a little white streamer fly or a shrimp fly and put a little Procure on it.
Oh, I do too, wholeheartedly. I just don't have any shrimp flies.
I think this guy look like a shrimp. I would take one of those.
You could probably take anything. You could probably take a chunk of meal would probably be perfect is
what's that pompano jig we're
fish
selling?
Fish bites.
And then it has that, oh yeah, piece of fish
piece
bites.
Of fish
You're
bites.
All done.
Call it a day.
You're done. That'll work. And it'll stay on the hook. That's simple.
Yeah.
But we sell those pompano jigs, and we sell the extra teasers.
Yeah, the little teasers.
And they work great. Good flies for here. I mean,
yeah,
they're cheap.
And believe it or not, they actually work exceptionally well in the canals at night for snook and the snook flights. They work great.
They're excellent little flies and cheap as heck. I mean, they're like a buck a piece or something. But, yeah, a piece of fish bites, you're done.
But I wanted to do something different today.
No, that would be a great idea. Fish bites on a fly rod, you couldn't get better than that. I mean, the hook, it won't go anywhere. The fish are going to eat it.
Yep, smells like shrimp, tastes like shrimp.
Excellent, excellent choice.
We actually got into a...
I can't believe he actually had a great idea.
Yeah.
It happens.
It happens once.
It happens once in a while.
I mean, Kale is just like, boom. I mean, the other day he came in, and instead of 2-3 days of being down, Kale had us back up, and what was it? I think he broke a world record, 3 hours or something like that. It was ridiculous. All new computer switching, everything's all set back up, everything's done. Not days, hours. And now he's got fish bites on a fly rod. This is like the...
Genius.
I don't know, he's going through a bubble thing. It's like the economy. He's riding that high bubble. You know?
Great. Now it's going to pop soon, and we're not going to have anything from...
Yeah, but that was a given from day one. When this started, and it was going up, and everything was going good, Kale's on his best roll, and I mean, you're only going to ride the bubble as long. It's like being a surfer. You're on that perfect wave, and you're riding along. The wave's got to end.
And when it crashes, it crashes.
Oh, it will, too. Yep. It'll crash bad. It'll be like...
That's when you hit a marker.
Yeah. It'll be like that Ben Stiller movie. You never go full retard.
Remember Fonzie jumping the shark? Well,
that's exactly
gonna,
what it is.
We're going to hit the marker here pretty quick. And speaking of hitting the marker, we ought to actually talk about something important. We're talking about going to fish bonnethead sharks. And you're going to go down to the sandbar, anchor up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Westwell. Expand on this a little bit. Come on, you're. I'm trying to carry the whole show here. It's getting friggin' heavy.
There's not a lot to expand on. Go down to the west wall, see a bonnethead, anchor up, and fish. There's so many of them out there. I mean, we had 30 of them swimming around the boat, and we didn't even chum. That was just from the water running out of the live well.
See, are we going to chum today, or are we just going for the...
We're going to chum. Yeah. I want to get them up. I want to get them. You'll see them out there. Going in circles and searching for their food, and if they come across your bait, they may turn around and pick it up. They may not.
It all depends
on how it's feeling at that moment in time. It may just keep swimming. If you can get them chummed up and get them up off the bottom where they're starting to dart around on the surface, then it doesn't matter what you throw at them. They're going to eat
frenzy.
It. Yeah.
Okay, Captain Kale's got his hand up, and he's pointing to the right with it. Now Kale has his hand moving in a circular motion and trying to do the play-by-play for him.
There you
go. So, we'll do that. If you can get him spun up like that and coming in hot and heavy, it doesn't matter what you throw at him.
Yeah.
And then we're going to... Probably it's all incoming tide today, so once we get enough water out there, we'll probably go up inside my cut and then work that. It's been a couple days since I've been up in there.
And it's all... What are you looking for up in
your cut? Oh, it's going to be all redfish, mostly redfish sheephead. And listen to the snook pop, just to make sure I know what bushes they're under here for another week when snook opens.
Yep.
Greg ordered breakfast from Smokehouse down on Cooper Street, and I'm kind of finishing my breakfast while we're talking.
Is that what that chewing sound is?
Slurp. No.
I'm jealous.
Anyway, it was pretty good. Sausage, eggs, potatoes.
So that's why I didn't want to go to Smokehouse.
Why?
I'll be out there sleeping all day.
I tell you.
Have you ever had their pancakes?
Yes.
And they should rename them nap cakes.
Yeah, but that's the only way you eat pancakes. You
but
eat
that's,
five or six
that's
of them.
What's gonna, no, it's not, it doesn't. Even if you eat one, you're taking a nap.
Yeah, but that's
I think that's the main way. Ingredient in those is lead.
I thought I was doing something nice talking about them on the radio, and then we're lead pancakes.
Oh, right there. That's a good pancake.
Oh, they're heavy.
You can't go wrong with good pancakes.
They're heavy pancakes, let me tell you.
And that's a smokehouse.
Yeah, but the one over on Cooper Street. Yeah. Because I think there's some imitation ones around nowadays.
There is.
Yeah.
There is.
The first original over on Cooper Street. If you don't know what ketchup bottle is, you don't really belong here.
It's
yes, you have to. Yeah. You have to understand. They have magic ketchup, so it's actually cool. But if you don't know what that is, you need to go there at least find that out. So anyway, back west side, anchored up, chumming. Now, you don't need big tackle for this. You're using the same rod you use for trout.
It's more fun on the light tackle. I mean, bonnetheads don't get big. The majority of them are 2 to 3 feet long. So it's not, and you don't need... you don't need metal. You don't need steel leaders. You
can 6 to 12 pound class rod.
Yeah, yeah, light
at
stuff.
At the most, an 8 to 17. Otherwise, you're never really going to bend the rod that much.
Exactly. Take and your trout rod, put a shrimp on it, throw
some
it
out 30 pound fluorocarbon leader.
Even 30 pounds pushing it. I've been running 20 pound out there on them. If you do your part, you hook them in the corner of the mouth. They very rarely cut through the leader.
Yeah.
They're easy to handle. They're good eating.
Now, to handle one of these, the idea is to grab him by the back of the head.
By the tail, right?
Yeah, grab him by the tail.
Grab him by the tail.
That way he gets to get even with you, and when he bites you, that was just what you deserve for messing with him. You know. But by the back of the head, control the jaws, control the teeth, and they're less dangerous than a catfish is. I mean, honestly, very easy fish to handle as long as you... You know, pick your leader up, and I usually prefer to do the leader with my right hand because I'm going to have to get the hook out, and so I need my pliers in my right hand. I can't do it with my left. So I pull the leader up with my right hand. I grab him by the back of the head with my left hand, and then I can just hold him, and it's just like holding a cat or, you know, by the dog by the nap of the neck, but you got him right by the back of the head.
Yeah, probably a dog. Cat's a little bit more mean.
Yeah, catch more meat.
And if you're going to keep these guys for dinner, gut them out immediately. Get them on ice. And don't think just because you took his guts
and
out.
Remember, cats are not
capable.
That bad eating. Once you do that, I'm sorry, we're talking about cats. Now you're talking about holding them up, gutting them. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is probably not a good thing to talk about on the radio. You know. But bonnet sharks, not little kitty cats.
Yeah, and don't think just because you took his guts out, he's not capable of taking a chunk out of you still.
Oh, yeah. Put him on ice. Let him die. Let him pass away on the ice.
It takes
no
a
guts.
While.
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes.
Yes.
You can literally put your hand in there, you know, and if you got one with a bad attitude, he's come up take a chunk out of you 15 minutes later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll take booger hooks clean off the hand. Fingers, Dave. Booger hooks or fingers.
Oh my goodness. Aren't you guys glad you tuned in today? I
was trying to figure out if he meant the fingernails or the fingers itself.
No. Oh, and we got trout over on the east side of the harbor. They're just biting like crazy. I'm going to say using MR-17, getting about 4 feet of water. Help, guys, I'm drowning over here.
Well, hopefully we'll do some fishing for some trout, too, today. And have they been doing all right? Have you been out? So
trout have actually,
with it,
it seems like they're starting to thin out. We still have less and less people talking about them, but it's still holding the same format that it's been all year. Not a whole lot of little ones. Most of the trout that are being caught out there are really good-sized trout.
Now, you got in a school of trout down in Pine Island Sound, and a couple of customers ran. They said they caught 50 or 60 of them. They were all 14 inches.
Yeah, Pine Island Sound seems to be the one consistent place to catch trout. And I haven't been down there, but I'm going to wager a pretty good guess and say that it's probably the only place left that has any decent grass. I'm really not understanding why the bonnetheads are always on the west side this year. Usually it's the east side that's packed with bonnetheads. Mm-hmm. Pirate Harbor is usually just chock full of them this time of year. There's no grass over there on the west wall. Hardly any grass left whatsoever, but those bonnetheads are out there hot and heavy.
It's been that way all season. This has not been an east side season. Everything's been focusing on the west.
And it's strange because there's no grass over there. I mean, usually...
Well, there's a lot of grass behind the bar.
No, there's not.
No one ever.
There's not. There's hardly any grass behind the bar.
It was that sailboat.
Could be.
That sailboat did it.
Could be.
Sailboaters are blamed. Especially the one who ran his boat up on the bar there. That sailboat provided so much shade for that whole area. It just killed
Well, it's
all
sitting
grass.
On its side, so you know, when the sun's low, it covers the entire wall there.
There is a sailboat aground over there.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been there for like the last 3 or 4 months.
What's really cool about it is we had one go over by Port Charlotte Beach, same basic bottom scenario, and all of a sudden it started going down, the water got in it, and the sand started. Well, it started disappearing and sinking down into the bottom. Somebody cut the mast off it. Then all of a sudden it turned straight up, had been going down, like laying on its side. As it got further into the bottom, it turned straight up. The mast stuck straight up. And over a few years, you just watched the mast get lower and lower and lower in the sand before it just disappeared. And this is probably about a 32-foot sailboat.
Yes, people don't realize how quick stuff will. I watched a D9 dozer disappear in the surf in North Carolina overnight.
Yeah.
It just completely overnight, and got up the next morning, gone.
Okay, how big's a D9 dozer?
A D9 dozer? That's one of those big caterpillars. Big
bulldozer. I mean, it's probably, I would say, 25 feet long,
but even
10 feet wide.
Yeah.
Weighs probably, what, 25 tons?
Probably. I mean, we tried pulling it out with our vehicles, couldn't get it out. By the time we got the M88 tank retriever, I mean, the tank retrievers, it pulls tanks out. Yeah. It couldn't budge this thing. It already sunk down in too far. Sorry, write it off.
Yeah.
You're military at work.
As long as you weren't the one driving it in there. All right. We've talked about game plan for today and enough other nonsense to last a week. Anything else we're going to talk about?
Well, hopefully, you know, you said maybe some snook out there. Now, last time you went in there, We caught
that big snook.
Yeah. So, is he still there? Do you?
He's still there.
Yeah.
He's back to that same bush, popping underneath that was that my fish. Same bush.
So I want that fish today.
Good luck. Now, he don't like shrimp.
I know. I was going to say, now I know I don't. We don't have
he,
any.
He doesn't like
there's,
shrimp.
There's actually, just watch, there's white bait along the sides. It's some by the marker.
But they.
There is white bait out there. We had that degree.
I've been watching it. We're at 80 degrees back up to the water temperature. And every time I pass marker two, I do a loop around it, do a loop around marker one. I got an inkling of some white bait out in the open, but they just couldn't get the cast net down quick enough. So it's coming any day now.
Any day now.
Well, anyway, guys, let's see. I hit that button. It was supposed to do something. Not sure what it was supposed to do. That was it. Well, this is Fishing Frank. We got Luigi Dave over here. We got Captain Kale over there.
Good talking to you guys.
And I think we're going to end the madness. I got to get a rifle shot. Like, pow, thunk.
I got to go fishing.
And thanks for listening, guys. I'm sorry about this one. You know, it just, you know, life happens to us. Say goodbye, Captain Kale.
We'll see ya.
Bye,
everybody. No, we won't. The fog hasn't lifted.